from the Word of God, from the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. This is a beautiful scripture, prophetic utterance about the Lord on the cross. It's a scripture I turn to very frequently and read. And I just want to read to you the first six verses. And then I'm just going to look at a subject which I don't think I've heard anybody else preach on. I've preached on it a couple of times, but I don't think anybody else, I've never heard myself, anybody preach on this. So Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Amen. You know what a powerful picture that we have of, you know, Jesus on the cross, what he went through in order to redeem us, to save us. And I want to just take some thoughts this morning on what I call the undesirable Christ. The undesirable Christ. Because there's a statement made in verse 2. At the end, the very last sentence of verse 2. And it says, "There is no beauty that we should desire him." You know, when you think of our Lord, our Savior, how wonderful he is, how awesome, how majestic, how glorious. And you see the gospel and you see the love and compassion that flowed from him. How can anybody say he's not beautiful? But here the scripture declares of Jesus, said there is no beauty that we should desire him. There's nothing in him that was beautiful. Nothing in him that was of a beautiful appearance. In actual fact, these few verses tell us, as it says earlier on in verse 2, it says, "He has no form." He has no form. You know, the image, the likeness, the representation, there was no physical form that was of any, that was recognizable, that was beautiful. The Bible says that the King of Kings, here on the cross, he wasn't robed in royal robes. He wasn't wearing his kingly garments. He didn't have his priestly garments. There was no splendor. You know, when he left heaven, before he came as a baby, when he left his father, he was clothed in splendor and glory and majesty. Here on the cross, he had no form. Even the ministry of the last 3 years of his life, which was spectacular, and we can't deny that. Miracles were taking place, blind eyes were being opened, deaf ears being unstopped, the lame walking, the dead rising. People that were in bondage and oppression were set free. A spectacular ministry, all forgotten. When the crowd in Jerusalem that stood in front of Pilate, when they called out, when Pilate presented him to them, and he says, "Here, behold your king." And they turn to him and say, "We have no king but Caesar." Forgotten. And what should I do with him then? Crucify him. Crucify him, they yelled. The King of Kings. Derobed. Dethroned. Hung on the cross. There's no beauty that we should desire him. Philippians puts it like this, Paul writing to the church in Philippi and recalling Jesus, it says in verse 7 of Philippians 2, it says, "He made himself of no reputation." There was nothing in him that was of any reputation. He humbled himself, the Bible says, and he became obedient, even to the point of death, the death of the cross. He made himself of no reputation. He had no form. The Bible goes on in verse 2, says he had no comeliness. There was nothing in Jesus on the cross that was pleasing to the eye. There was nothing attractive about that man on the cross. Come back with me to chapter 52. And one of the last verses of the chapter, in actual fact, the prophetic utterance concerning Christ on the cross begins in verse 13 of chapter 52. In verse 13 it says this, it says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." Do you remember what Paul wrote? He says, yes, he made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And then he goes on and he says, but God has exalted him. God has exalted him. You know, he shall be exalted. He shall be extolled. He shall be very high. But at this moment in time, just as many, verse 14 says, were astonished at you, so his visage, his appearance, his physical features, it says, was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. You know, when Jesus took upon himself the weight of sin, the weight of the disease of mankind, it disfigured his body. We see these images of Jesus on the cross. And you know, these artists paint these pictures. They paint him with a crown of thorns on his head and a few drops of blood running down his face. And really in these pictures, there's almost a picture of, in the facial feature, almost like a man at rest, a man at peace. But the Bible is quite clear. His visage was marred more than any man. You know, there was nothing in the physical features of Jesus that were recognizable as a man. You know, the weight of sin upon him marred his appearance. You know how sin is ugly, sin destroys. You know, and you see people that have been so entrenched in the sin of the world, and these people that say that they've almost sold their souls to Satan, You know, it's visible in their features. You can see the pain in their face. You can see the ugliness of sin on them. I think I told you once before, you know, a lot of our ministry in the UK was to the gypsy and traveling community, and some of these old men and old women that have been into fortune telling for years and years. They've been reading the tarot cards. You know, they've been telling people's fortunes and doing all of these types of things. You know, and when they came to the Lord, their faces were so screwed up and wrinkled. And yet when they came to the Lord Jesus, over a period of time, their physical features completely changed. Why? Because the light of the glory of God was shining through them. They had to change. You know, sin is ugly. And it screws up the face. It screws up the body. You know, someone who's racked with pain, you know what it's like if you're in pain, or you're crippled up with some disease, even something like arthritis. You know, see people that, you know, their physical features are crippled and bent and out of shape. Just imagine what Jesus went through when he took upon himself the sin of the world. He took upon himself the disease and sickness. He was unrecognizable as a man. On top of that, he'd been beaten to the point of death. You know, we have this image sometimes of Jesus on the, when he goes to the cross, you know, he's there, he's, well, certainly the English image of him, he certainly wouldn't have been like this because he was of Mediterranean, Middle Eastern descent, but we have this image of a white man who is pure white. And this, he's got this nice, something into Sister Salome. he looks good with his little moustache and his little beard. And but when you read what he did, you know, they beat him, they bruised him, they cut his back. You know, he was physically weak with pain and agony. And on top of that, the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You know, there was no beauty in him that he should be desired. Verse 3 goes on and says that he was a man of sorrows. A man of sorrows. This word in the Hebrew literally means pains, sorrows. And this word sorrow here, the dictionary definition of it is to bring grief or pain to something, to make sorrow for. And he was a man of pain, a man of great sorrow. Why? Because it was all laid upon him. He bore the weight of our sin on his shoulders in his life. He was acquainted with grief. It goes on in verse 3. Again, physical pain or discomfort. I'm trying to portray here an image of ugliness. And this is what the scripture is telling us. You know, to be acquainted with grief, or this, again, this word here, grief, is literally translated as sickness. Caused by physical injury or illness. So here we have a scripture says that there's no beauty that we should desire him in verse 2. He has no form, he has no comeliness. When we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men. They didn't want him. He's a man of sorrows, a man who's taken on himself our griefs, our pains. A man who's acquainted with grief. He's acquainted with sickness. Why? Because it's been put upon him. And the prophet here goes on and he says, look, which is what you would do in the natural. He says, we hid, as it were, our faces, but we couldn't look upon that cross. We couldn't gaze upon the cross. You know, just think about what we said just a few moments ago. You know, where Moses set up that bronze serpent in the wilderness. And all they had to do was look at it and live. You know, all we have to do this morning is look at the cross, I say, and we will live. Well, look at it in faith. But it's an ugly sight. Not many people stood at the foot of the cross and looked at it as Jesus was dying. You know, they left. They deserted him. There were just a few that stayed through till the end. Why? Because he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Said he was despised. And we didn't esteem him. And then verse 4 goes on in this chapter and it tells us, it says, surely he has borne our griefs. He's carried our sicknesses. He's carried the pains. He's borne them. It says, yet we esteemed him stricken. You know, this word here, stricken, talking about the facial features again, talks about something which is in great distress. You know, Jesus was in agony on the cross. He was in pain. He was going through something which all his life on earth he had never known. Yet here he was, stricken with pain, stricken with grief, stricken with despair. And do you remember what happened on the cross where Jesus is quoting Psalm 22, where he begins and he begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? Imagine the despair and the agony that would have caused, to know that even God the Father couldn't look upon that sight and had to turn his face from him. You know, such was the ugliness of the cross. Then it goes on in verse 4, it says, yes, we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. Smitten, to have a blemish, to be struck. Smitten by God. God laid on him, verse 6 tells us, the iniquity of us all. He was struck down. The iniquity was put upon him. He was afflicted. Verse 5 continues, he was wounded for our transgressions. To receive an injury to the body. The word, a wound is an injury to body tissue. Caused either by a cut, a blow, or an impact with some object. And particularly, this word wound here is one it talks about, it describes it, where the skin is broken and cut open. We know that Jesus was pierced through, had a spear thrust into his side. That crown of thorns embedded into his brow. It wasn't just placed on his head, you know. It was put on his head and pressed down. I don't know for sure, but I'm told, and if you do a study of it, that the thorns of this particular bush or tree where they got the wood from are something like this. They're not tiny, not like the little, we think of thorns like the tiny little things like this, but these were large thorns that penetrated the tissues of his brow. He was beaten with, he was scourged. He took the stripes, the 39 stripes, the Roman scourge. A friend of mine used to describe Jesus' back And he used to say his back looked like a plowed field, where the flesh and the meat were just ripped out. Ugly. An ugly sight. Maybe this message should have an 18 rating. You know, it wasn't a pretty sight at all. He was wounded for our transgressions. For our transgressions. This is what we should, by right, have gone through. We should have paid the price for our own sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. How are bruises caused? Through pressure. Pressure. An injury caused by a heavy blow or weight to be crushed. A wound. He was bruised for our iniquities. You know, the weight of sin crushed him, bruised him. Then it just reiterates, it says, and by his stripes, we ourselves receive healing. We receive strength. We receive all that we need. Healing of our sin, healing of our sickness, healing of our disease, healing of our going astray, healing of our own ways. There's healing. This word here, healing here, literally means to make whole. We are made whole by the stripes. Everything Jesus went through on the cross, he did for you and for me. No, we can't. I've tried my best this morning to paint a picture, but we just can't comprehend what Jesus went through. It's beyond our comprehension, our human comprehension. But look at what the Lord says. It says, he did this because, he says, we like sheep have gone astray. We know, we've wandered from the fold, we've wandered from the path, we've turned, everyone, we've gone our own way. And because of that, the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. If you carry on and continue reading this prophetic word, you'll see it goes on, it talks about how Jesus went as a lamb to the slaughter. He didn't fight, he didn't struggle. He laid down his life for you and for me. But there's an interesting verse in verse 10. We think it went, we just read everything Jesus went through. But in verse 10 it says, here it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God to bruise him, to crush him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It pleased God to bruise Jesus, to have him to make his soul an offering for sin. Why? Because of the statement it says here in the middle of the verse. It says, can you give me verse 10, Gerald? Wrong chapter, chapter 53. Verse 10, 53. A bit more, there we go. Why? It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering. It says, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. You know, when Jesus went through all this agony and all this pain, do you know the one thing that kept him going? It was you. It was me. He shall see his seed. Those that would be born of him. Those that would be born again of his spirit. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Romans. In Romans 12. And it says this. I I love this scripture. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Now, it's talking about the cloud of witnesses connected to chapter 11. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now look at verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How could anybody endure the cross? The old philosophers, people like Cicero and Plato, they describe, I think it was Cicero actually described the cross, or this type of execution, this Roman execution, as the most cruelest of all executions. It was inhumane. Now, tradition tells us that many people, it didn't happen in the case of Jesus, but many people would hang on this cross, not for a few hours, but maybe a few days. Just slowly dying. It was an inhumane way to die. And no one could endure that. But it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, it says, who for the joy that was set before him. You know, there was joy at the cross. Because Jesus saw you and he saw me. And that's how he could endure the cross. That's how he could despise the shame of the death of the cross. You know, it was shameful. It was a shameful way to die. Scripture describes anyone that was crucified as, it described it as a curse. It was a curse. It was shameful to be crucified. And yet Jesus went to the cross for you and me. And then it says here, in verse 3, it says, consider Jesus this morning. Consider what he has done, what he endured, who endured such hostility from sinners, of which we were one. It was our sin that sent Jesus to the cross. My sin, your sin. He says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You know, when we are feeling sorry for ourselves, you know, when we go through a trial or a situation and it makes us go, oh, I'm all alone in this, I'm by myself, nobody loves me, nobody cares, they don't bother that I'm going through this, you know, it's hard, it's tough, and we have this little pity party and we make out that, you know, we're the only person in the world that's ever had the trouble and the trials. What should we do? Consider Jesus. Consider him, lest we become, it says, weary and discouraged in our souls. Think what Jesus went through. What he bore, what he took, what he endured for you and for me. Yes, on the cross there was no beauty that we should desire him. But like the caterpillar, there's no beauty in the chrysalis. But what comes out of that is beautiful. The butterfly, the colours, the beauty. What come out of the cross, what was accomplished because of the cross, is really beautiful. the salvation, the cleansing, the healing, the deliverance, everything that we enjoy today, all of the benefits that we have, because Jesus was made unbeautiful. What was unbeautiful has become beautiful. What was ugly has become glorious. You know, we owe such a debt to Jesus. Now, we can never ever repay that. But what can we do? We can love Him. We can serve Him all our days. We can give Him our lives, our all. You know, we used to sing a song many years ago. I don't know whether you know it. There's a little worship song, and it's easy to sing and it's easy to say, but in practice it's so difficult to do. And it was this. It says, I want to worship the Lord with all of my heart, give Him my all, not just a part. You know, that's the difficult thing, the sacrifice. Give Him our all, give Him our lives. You know, very often we say something, Lord, you can have this, you can have this. And we don't release everything to Him. What's He looking for? He's looking for our all this morning. Will we surrender to Him? On the cross, Jesus lay open and bare for everyone. For all. You know, there was no hiding on the cross. He was knelt to the cross and lifted up. But what did He say? He says, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So look this morning. I'm not asking you to look at an image of a cross or a crucifix or this image of Jesus on the cross. But look at the cross this morning. See what Jesus accomplished for you. Look at it through the eyes of faith and receive from Him the cleansing, the forgiveness, the healing this morning. And I'm going to pray as we draw our time together to a close this morning. And as I pray this morning, I want you just to release to the Lord anything which is holding you back. You know, you've got little bits of your life which you're hanging on to and you're saying, I'm not going to let go, and you're holding like a rope. Let them go this morning. If there's sickness in your body, you know, bring it before the Lord. You know, vocalize it, mention it to God. If you're going through pains, you're going through difficulties, you're going through turmoil, you've got trouble. Maybe it's trouble at home, trouble at work, trouble with the children, trouble with your parents, I don't know. You're having problems with neighbors and other relationships. Bring it all to the Lord this morning. You know, He endured all that. So He knows what we go through. He knows the pain we suffer. He knows the torment that we very often are tormented with. He knows the difficulties we face. Why? Because He endured it all. Everything that we have ever suffered, everything that we have will ever suffer, was laid on Jesus. So Father, this morning we just come before You. Father, we know we can say easily, Lord, that we surrender to You. But Lord, very often we don't surrender everything. Lord, we only surrender very often what we want to surrender. But Lord, we thank You, Lord, that on the cross we see You gave everything. Lord, You left the splendor of heaven. Lord, knowing, Lord, that Your destiny was that cross. Knowing, Lord, that one day, Lord, before the world, You would bear it all, Lord. Lord, You would be made sin. Lord, that the sin, the iniquity would be laid upon You so that we, Lord, could be partakers of Your righteousness. And Father, this morning as we come before You, Lord, we just bring any need that we have. Lord, any sickness that we're going through, Lord, we just bring it before your throne this morning. Any trouble, Lord, that we're facing, Lord, we bring it before your throne. Lord, any difficulty, Lord, that we're going through, Lord, we just bring it to you this morning. Lord, because we are assured, Lord, because of your promise, Lord, that you tell us, Lord, to cast all our cares upon you. Lord, every sickness, every sin, Lord, we confess to you. Lord, every difficulty we bring to your throne this morning. Lord, we come boldly to the throne of grace, because at the throne of grace we find help, Lord, in our time of need. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that because you bore, Lord, our iniquities, we don't have to carry them. Because you carried our sickness and our disease, we don't have to bear them. Lord, so we release them to you this morning. Lord, in faith, trusting, Lord, that you will cleanse and heal and deliver us. So, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. If there's anybody here this morning that hasn't yet, you've been sitting in the service and maybe just been unlucky, but you've never actually made that commitment to follow the Lord yourself. I want to encourage you, if you want to do that, come and see me after the service. And I'll be happy to talk with you, to pray with you, and lead you to the Lord. Amen. Let's hear, have you got a song for us this morning? Sister Felician's going to bring us a song from her gospel album. And as she sings, just receive from the Lord.
I'm going to sing this song. It's called I Choose.